Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Friends with Friends. My name's Pete Allison and I'm with Dave Cribb.
Ahoy, hoy. That was weird the way you said with, but I understood what you were doing after a second, but it threw me momentarily, I'd say.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry I derailed you briefly.
Friends with Pete with Dave.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe we should just abandon the word and altogether and just with from now on.
Friends.
Well, no.
Oh, no, that would be friends and friends.
Friends and friends, yeah. No, the word with is already in there, isn't it? That's a positive thing.
Yeah, but what did I decide during the last series that this podcast should be called?
Oh, are you trying to make me remember things that has been said in the past? Because you know that never
friends
worked,
of right? Friends.
Friends. Friends of friends, yeah. No, I don't think you're right. And I think that is backed up by the fact there's at least three other copycat podcasts now called Friends with Friends, and they've all chosen the same title.
That's true, yeah.
I don't know if they chose it off us or if it's just coincidence, but I don't think there is a Friends of
Friends. But either way, they're pricks.
Well, they are pricks because, I mean, we don't know any of them. I'm sure they're very nice people. But when you search for Friends with Friends now, there is, I think sometimes you do get this stupid LA one that hasn't even put out an episode in about a year or something.
But do any of them have a logo as nice as ours?
Well, no, P. No, absolutely not. Look, I think it's undisputed that ours is the best. Popping some confidence in ourselves there. You got to back yourself, haven't you?
Absolutely.
But I'm not saying any of the others are good or rivaling us. It's more just a sort of SEO problem, you know? And, oh my God, when you search Friends with Friends on Google, actually ours is the first one that comes
There's
up.
There's a podcast called Friends Watching Friends.
Yeah, well, that's fine, because this is different. I don't have any beef with them.
Friends with Anxiety? That's a mental health podcast.
Yeah, different
podcast. Although you could at times refer to this podcast as Friends with Anxiety, to be fair.
Absolutely. Oh, 100%, yeah. I mean, we are your friends with anxiety on Friends with Friends, aren't we? Oh my God, there's a podcast called Best of Friends, right? That's done every single episode, I think. That's a lot, isn't it?
They must have overtaken us, though.
Well, yeah, they finished last year as well. When did they start? Oh, they were pumping.
Should we stop talking up other people's podcasts?
Well, I'm talking them down, if anything,
yeah,
Pete.
They're all shite. Don't bother.
They're all an absolute waste of time. Don't listen to anything else. And the longer we make this bit about talking about other people's podcasts and how shit they are, the longer you have to listen to our podcast, and therefore the less likely you are to listen to other podcasts. It's the perfect crime, Pete. Let's make these episodes 7 hours long, and then nobody has time to listen to anything else. Maybe that's how we become millionaires.
Imagine how much shit we'd have to edit out of a 7 hour long podcast.
Oh, it doesn't bear thinking about, does it?
No. Ooh, so let's start.
I literally got a little shiver then thinking about that. Yes, let's start with, how about with a request, Peter?
Yes, that feels like a good way of doing
it. Feels like the place to start, doesn't it? Hi, Dave and Pete. Hope you're both well.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, I actually should start by saying Hannah from Bedfordshire has signed off Hannah from Bedfordshire, and we like it when people sign off a name from place, don't we? It feels a bit Blue Peter, but I like knowing where the requests have come from. So, hi, Hannah from Bedfordshire. Hope you're both well. We are both well, I think. Well, I can certainly say I'm well. Peter, you well?
Yeah, I'm all right, yeah.
Lovely. I absolutely love the podcast. These are Hannah's words now, not mine. You certainly brightened up my long car journeys to and from work. How long are we talking? I don't know why I'm having a conversation. Hannah's not here, but that makes it sound like it's quite a lengthy drive, doesn't it?
Well, we can only keep you company for usually about 34 minutes.
Frankly, that is quite a long drive anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
driving, yeah. keep up the fab work. We'll try. I mean, this is probably not indicative of that, but I'd like to request season 6, episode 2, the one where Ross hugs Rachel. I love the dynamic of Ross and Phoebe, and this is a great episode for it. Monica is being an 8 out of 10 annoying in this ep, but it's all worth it for Ross's "I did love Rachel in the past, but now she is just my wife" line. I'd love to hear your views on the episode. Can't wait for you to rip Ross to shreds. Rip Ross to shreds. I can't say that. Can't wait for you to rip Ross to shreds. Oh,
can't. Rip Ross to shreds.
Can't wait for you to rip Ross to shreds as per. Thanks, Hannah from Bedfordshire. And Hannah has added 5 emojis to the end of her message, Pete. And they are as follows: a coffee cup, a Statue of Liberty, a lobster, a chick, and a duck.
Well, it's very appropriate.
Very appropriate. If you just put 5 random ones, they've really come up Trumpsy there, Hannah.
I'd like to dispute this episode's title, though, straight off the straight off the hat. Is that the expression?
I think it's straight off the bat, Pete, but
straight off the hat.
Straight off whose hat?
Straight off my hat.
I mean, it's not straight off the bat, is it? Straight off the hat. It's straight off the bat.
It is straight off the bat. You're right. I'm wrong. Yeah.
Okay, but straight off your hat, what would you
straight
like to say?
Straight off my hat. I think this episode is badly named, because if it's all about when Ross hugs Rachel, then it should be the one where Ross doesn't hug Rachel until right at the end of the episode.
Yeah, and the hug is
brief.
Brief, uneventful. I mean, it is impressive that we get from Ross in a single facial expression in that hug that he does still love Rachel. Do you know what I mean? That is good acting. Solid acting.
His reaction is more that he's like a bit turned on by it.
Right. Well, exactly. This is the problem, isn't it? It doesn't.
I mean, naturally, we're starting this episode with the dying moments of it.
This is
all
the very last seconds, I'd say, the last 10 seconds of the whole thing. But yeah, he does look. Yeah, you're quite right, actually. That could be interpreted as arousal or love. Good game show.
I don't want to play that.
Not with Ross Geller, you don't. But yeah, it doesn't lend itself to the whole episode, does it? Like you say, the title, it really, it's like when we did the pivot one and we realized nobody pivoted it about 18 minutes into the episode.
Yeah.
But this is even less so, because nobody hugs anyone until right at the flipping end. So yeah, but should we circle back, shall we, and start not right at the end?
Should we start at the beginning?
It feels like a good way to do it, doesn't
it? Yeah, that does feel like a good way to begin.
Yes, well, let's start, shall we, with the synopsis. Season 6, episode 2. And as I've said that, I've realised I've got season 9 up, strangely, on Wikipedia, which is not helpful to anyone. So I'll just smoothly cover that while I click back through to season 6. Oh, my God, no one noticed. The one where Ross hugs Rachel. Oh, I think you might like this production code, Pete. You ready?
Okay.
Honestly, I'm going to put money on the fact you're going to really like this. It's a bit like ASMR vibes. 2-2-5-5-5-2.
Yeah, I do like that.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really good.
All
really
the twos like and the it. Fives.
Annoyingly, the synopsis is huge. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines long.
No.
It's a big old paragraph. Shall I do it fast or abridged?
Abridged.
Ross promises Rachel to get their marriage annulled, only to shock Phoebe by confessing he can't get through with it. Monica and Chandler announce they are moving in together, and the end.
Yeah, there's kind of only 2 plots in this, isn't there?
Yeah, and there's sort of the bit about Ross worrying that he 3 divorces would mean he is ineligible for dating, but that's tied into the Ross and Rachel thing. But I mean, that is a bit separate, because we get all the stuff with the 3 women in the coffee house and Phoebe, and like Hannah from Bedfordshire says, Ross and Phoebe's dynamic in this episode is actually very good, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I do think that Phoebe lets Ross off quite lightly, but she does then seemingly kind of torture him with the fact that she has this information, which I'm more down for.
Yeah, it's kind of a combo of her having that power, and also that I really like the childlike sort of state that you know, her joy at being the only person that knows a little secret. Like, yeah. you do get a little throwback to that sort of terrible childhood of Phoebe's, of her never having these sort of experiences. And now she's like, oh my God, I'm the friend that knows the thing. I love it, you know? And that joy, that sort of childish joy, outweighs the fact this is pretty flipping awful and serious.
You know? That is the reason why she's so complicit, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%, because actually it is absolutely dreadful. And there's an inconsistency in a lot of this plot, right? Because Ross is worried continually, and he keeps saying it, that he doesn't want to be the three divorce guy, right? Now, A, he's trying to get an annulment, not a divorce. And if he just got the annulment, that's famously not a divorce, right?
Yes, it's true. Different by definition, yeah.
Well, but that's what I mean. Surely getting the annulment immediately stops you being three divorce guy.
I also think, you know, the scene where there's the three women, the trio of friends that are yep. having coffee, and then they're Waffy. Interrupted to play a part yep. in this nonsense. By the way, I think that little trio of cameos is really fun. They're all really good in their own little way.
Yeah, they are great. They're a good addition, aren't they?
But in that conversation, I think Ross's explanation of not being at fault for two of his divorces actually kind of flies.
Yeah, two of the three. Yeah, the wrong name at the altar thing, as he says. A little
his
my fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, really drunk, yeah. Well, Rachel was in the same situation.
Yeah.
And wife was a lesbian.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? He doesn't... As with a lot of these things, the headline's bad, but actually when you delve into it, it's kind of fine, isn't it?
Yeah.
And as happens, is the three women, I mean, the one isn't really into dating, then it's turned on when he goes mad. But the other two are basically like, yeah, the divorces don't bother me because it only took you 20 seconds to explain the whole situation, and that kind of makes sense, like you say.
Yeah. So I'm absolutely not here to be a Ross apologist, but in these rare circumstances, I understand some of where he's coming from.
Well, what I would say, though, is his whole logic of I don't want to get this marriage annulled because I don't want to be three divorces. Like, it's already not a divorce. But what the alternative's much worse if your worry is it impacting your dating life. Because if you actually don't get this annulled or you don't get divorced, at some point when you're dating someone, you have to tell them you're married and you plan on never changing that status.
And also, just in case what I've just said does make it sound like I'm willing to back up Ross. What he's doing is awful,
yeah,
and should not be forgiven.
Good, you're really getting a long way to prove that you're not a Ross apologist, aren't you?
Well, I really want to be a long way away from that, you know?
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely fair, and I think we know where you stand. I think we both stand in the same place. But yeah, so his only other alternative is to just stay married forever, and therefore if he ever wants to marry someone else, he either has to get three divorces, and therefore this whole thing was a moot point, or he's got to just not get married to anyone else and stay married to Rachel forever, and then she can't get married either. I mean, it's nuts, isn't it?
And also, when Ross is like, can you just lay off when Phoebe's winding him up? Oh, no, you don't really... She shouldn't be laying off anytime soon. And also, fair play to Meg, or bravo, Meg, as Phoebe says.
Bravo, Meg.
Because yeah. She's actually kind of right, we learn in the end.
Yeah, well, she cracks the case wide open, doesn't she?
Yeah, before Ross is even prepared to admit it to himself, Meg's got him sussed.
Exactly, and Meg's only just met him, so...
Got a lot of time for Meg. A
lot of time for Meg, justice for Meg, bring back Meg. A Meg spin-off would have been preferable to Joey, frankly, at this stage.
You could have a spin-off of these three friends with their three male friends.
Why do they need three male friends, Pete? They could just be three women on their own.
Yes. I just mean...
I'm being a dick, sorry.
For sake of balance.
Yes, yes. Oh, yes, fine. To replicate the setup of Friends, I know what you mean. But then in the divorce, not telling Rachel the whole side of it, let's spool right back to the beginning of the episode. Because, actually, we were talking on last week's podcast, weren't we, about American traits that we don't understand. And last week it was sending drinks over in a bar. And actually, a lot of you did get in touch to say, American men do that a lot. And it's quite weird and pressuring and doesn't sound very fun, frankly. But something we don't really do here, is it? Another thing we don't really do, Pete, and correct me if I'm wrong, is ever say, do you want to go and see a movie? And then immediately go and see a movie.
Spontaneous cinema trips.
Spontaneous cinema trips. And they don't seem to care about what, like, I don't know about you, I go and see a movie if I want to see the film.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, the new whatever is out, Marvel film, let's say, for argument's sake. I want to go and see that film. I don't just want to go and sit in a room and watch a film in the dark for the sake of it.
Also, Rachel's worried about being late for a movie that she's literally just decided to go and see and seemingly hasn't actually picked a specific film.
Right. They don't. How is she going to be late for a movie they haven't chosen and she doesn't even know what time it starts?
Although, sending Rachel off to the cinema a second time, very funny with the banging on the roof of the taxi.
Yeah, that is great. Although the idea that that taxi reversed for about a minute down a main street in Manhattan.
Very reckless driving, yeah.
Pretty reckless.
Oh, I have an important question.
Yeah.
You know when Phoebe and Ross stood outside Central Perk?
Yes.
And they're having this conversation?
Yes.
Phoebe says something that I don't understand.
Oh, yeah?
She says, "You're going to be married to a girl who doesn't even know about it," and then goes, "Woman, sorry," and there's a laugh. What's the laugh at?
Oh, just, I don't know. I didn't even clock that. I remember that line in sort of my brain from various
previous. But she like corrects herself, and she's correcting her use of the word girl and changing it to woman.
Is that literally just it, that she shouldn't be calling Rachel a girl because she's a grown woman? I don't know. Is there a reference
before
that?
That's done a lot, isn't it? Like, people would refer to their friends is my girls, the girls type thing.
Yeah.
Understand what, because there's a laugh from the studio audience and I don't understand what it's at, because what she says isn't funny.
Let's have a quick look into the script. You're going to be married to a girl who doesn't even know about it. A woman.
It's as if there's like a callback to something that's been cut.
Deleted.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. No. I can't see anything in this.
Okay, well, maybe if they've edited the script, then it doesn't work.
No, but I usually have these scripts I have like the deleted scenes as well. I wonder if, was the one in the one before, the one after Vegas? Is there like a reference? Because the scene runs over, do you remember?
Mm.
From the previous episode. Nope, nothing in that. Flipping out. This is so weird, isn't it? No, I don't know. I'm with you. It's probably either just a thing that isn't a strong enough joke to be in there, but they've chucked a laugh on anyway, or it is, like you say, a callback. That feels the most likely, doesn't it? A callback to a thing that they've deleted.
I also love the scene with the lawyer, the very world-weary lawyer who's...
He's a sassy little bitch,
Ross.
Isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Of course you did. Yeah, he's good.
Again, we're no rapologists, Ross-apologists, but you would hope that when you're paying someone for their legal services, they wouldn't basically just be sitting there going, "You're a massive dick."
Yeah.
Which is basically what Ross's lawyer is doing in not so many words.
Especially as he's just made the point that Ross is his like best client, therefore probably giving him thousands of dollars.
Right. I was going to say, like, this, you'd surely, if you were Russell, Ross's divorce attorney, you'd surely want...
Is his name Russell?
Yeah, it's in the one where Ross does the British accent at the university, you know? And he calls up the apartment. "This is Russell, Ross's divorce attorney." Anyway, I'd have thought you'd want to hold on to him and, if anything, actively encourage him to get married more.
Yeah.
Because, he's, you know, Ross is putting that guy's kid through college.
Yeah, exactly.
He does give him a lot of attitude. And also, in this scene, it becomes apparent that Ross thought it would be possible for him to annul a legal marriage without the written or even verbal approval of the other person involved.
Like, you could just get annulled without the other person having to play a key role in it.
Right. Like, he just is sort of like, "Oh, I told her it's already sorted. Does she actually have to be involved in this?" I mean, for very good reason, I think the legal system's probably set up that she should be involved, you know? And then finally, before we move on from this, Ross has got himself into a right tangle here, hasn't he? He's told Rachel it's all been taken care of, and then it clearly hasn't. But in this situation, wouldn't you just sort of say something along the lines of, "Oh, it's all nearly done, we just have to sign these papers, or we just have to go to court and testify." You know, there's just this last bit that my lawyer... Sorry. That my lawyer just said... No, I just dropped a... what are these things called? You know, like a blind... The cord on a blind, and on the end of the cord, there's a little plastic.
The nubbin.
Nubbin, yeah. The nubbin came off the blinds, and now it just sits on the desk. But I sort of, it's the thing I fiddle with when I'm recording now.
Fair.
And as you can tell, occasionally.
I'm glad that's
dropping.
What you're fiddling with.
Fiddling with my nubbin, yeah. But actually, to be fair, this should indicate that I got quite good control over the nubbin, because that's what, probably the first time I've ever dropped it on this podcast.
Oh, well done. Good nubbin control.
Good nubbin to you.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Before we started talking about my nubbin, I think I was in the middle of some sort of train of thought and I can't remember what it was. Oh yeah, Ross, sorry, just before we move on to Monica and Chandler. Surely Ross at this stage could have just sort of gone to Rachel, oh, it's all nearly done, we just need to do this thing. And she would have inevitably gone, oh yeah, that makes sense, I'll need to do something to approve this annulment. And then they could have just got away with it. He could have just got away with having not done it, you know?
Yep, true.
And just it's all pushed through now. But anyway, turns into a farce, a bloody farce after a hug. Right, Monica and Chandler are moving in together, aren't they?
They are. Yeah, I mean, they're all being quite sort of sickly and saccharine and sweet together, aren't they?
Yes, it's the start. It's the beginning of the end, this, isn't it?
This of is them being fun.
Yes, specifically Chandler. We have previously discussed it, and I think it's a sort of fairly widely held opinion that Chandler gets less fun when he's with Monica, doesn't he?
Yeah, fair.
And sort of this is where it all starts. And it isn't that, look, it's nice to see them happy. Absolutely fine with that. But this is him moving out of Joey's is a big end of that sort of double act, which is what a lot of early Friends was really sort of quite heavily reliant on, wasn't it? Though he is scared of telling Joey, and Joey is absolutely distraught, even though he's just moving to, I mean, you might as well not have doors in those apartments, right? There's only two on that floor, and as far as you can tell, and they move so freely between them. Like,
yeah, not a huge difference, is there?
Like, you know, as if they had EU passports before Brexit. Freedom of movement is absolutely, absolutely high on the agenda. And all Chandler's doing is moving effectively to a different room of the sort of giant double apartment they share.
Yeah, he's not too far away.
No, and Joey's so often in that other room that it's, I just don't think it'd really make much difference day to day, as it absolutely doesn't, because we see it for the next 5 years. But Joey is very upset. Rachel, on the other hand, isn't upset because basically she doesn't believe that's going to go ahead.
Joey is upset, but again, classic example of Joey being a good friend, says congratulations before saying he's sad. And to be fair to him, he only says that it sucks and that he's sad once they sort of pursue him on it. Like, literally pursue him out the door when he's upset about it.
Yes, that's true. Although he is clearly upset by it, isn't he? Because he sort of, he walks off immediately and he's not.
But he doesn't try to put that on them. He's like,
no, he doesn't. You're right. Congrats. He's trying his best in his own, again, in his own sort of slightly childlike way. He's trying his best to not air those feelings, isn't he? To make them feel bad.
Yeah.
Rachel initially then thinks Chandler's moving in with her and Monica, which frankly is a reading of a situation poorly.
Yes, she really doesn't get the sense that she's unwanted, does she? Not unwanted, no. Required to move out.
Required to leave. Yeah, and actually, after all of the faff, and there's so much faff about where Rachel lives, just they should have just come up with the idea that Chandler and Rachel swap rooms, like almost immediately, you know? Going back to this is basically one giant four-bedroom apartment, that would have been such an easy solution to just say, do you mind moving to a room across the hall? And basically continuing to live the rest of your life exactly the same as you do now.
But then it just sparks this bizarrely intense bit of Monica behaviour. Like the bit where Rachel's sat on the sofa doing her toenails.
Mm.
And Monica's like pursuing tears from her.
She goes full on intense. Full on mad eyes, doesn't she?
Which Rachel clocks because she says she's not blinking.
Yeah, she's staring her out. She's basically going, oh, look at all these things that should provoke some sort of sentimental reaction from you. Why aren't you crying? It's as Hannah says, 8 out of 10 Monica annoying. But she is just trying to get that reaction that Joey gave Chandler. But it turns out the reason is because Rachel doesn't actually believe it's going to happen. And then as soon as she does sort of get that sense, the tears, they flow, don't they?
They do indeed.
How bad could that cookie have been, by the way?
Yeah, that she's like, she goes to spit it out, doesn't she?
I mean, Monica's a professional chef. You'd have thought even a bad Monica cookie wouldn't be spitting it back into the tissue worthy, right?
No, especially if it, like, biscuits are quite hard things to make disgusting, right?
Well, there's about 3 ingredients, right? And as long as I've got one of them, which is the sugar, that's going to be fine, right?
Well, if it was involving something if it was savoury and involved some stronger flavours, then I think I might get it.
Yeah, no, poor old Monica, not having a good time there. But the most disgusting thing that happens at this point is that Rachel then puts the chewed cookie back in her mouth for the tissue.
Yeah, that's not good.
To try and cover it up, which, frankly, made me feel a little queasy. Classic thing I didn't get when I was younger and had to look up this time. When Rachel sings, come knock on our door, we'll be waiting for you.
Oh, yeah, what's that about?
That is the theme tune from the television sitcom Three's Company.
Oh, okay.
So I'd say that's probably a reference that flew in America, not so much here.
No, that went over my head.
Three's Company ran for 8 seasons from March 1977 to September 1984, based on the British sitcom Man About the House.
Should we know what that is?
That's a 70s sitcom as well, but British.
Oh dear, if it was a 70s sitcom, it was probably deeply problematic.
Should we scratch that off our list of things to do a podcast about once we finish Friends?
Man About the House with Friends.
Men About the House with Men. With Men with Ven. Friends with Men. Fave lines?
I think I've kind of touched upon all of mine, to be honest.
I enjoy Chandler's, he walks in and Monica says, I thought you were Rachel. And he goes, what gave me away? Yeah. I think I use what gave me away almost every other day in real life when the circumstance allows. And it's a very satisfying quote to pull out because occasionally someone will know where it's from, but often they won't because it's quite a niche one. So that's good. I also enjoy when Monica hands Rachel that sort of weird star ornament thing.
When she doesn't know what it is.
Yes. Just the way that both of them deliver those lines is really funny because Monica's basically going, look at this thing. Look, oh my God, all the memories it holds. And Rachel just goes, what is that? I don't know. And it's the idea that Monica has a thing that she doesn't even know what it is implausible. But the way they deliver those lines is great. And I also enjoy Chandler's. Well, I still think you're very nice and very pretty. Again, just for the delivery when he's trying to sort of cover up that conversation between Monica and Rachel. Anyway, there you go. They're my favourite lines. Pete, would you like a quiz?
The Quizzard is back.
Original Quizzard Amy. Back in the house.
The
back
OG.
She felt left out and they all come crawling back to Estelle.
Question 1. What does Ross ask Rachel for as they leave Central Perk?
Gum?
It's correct. I didn't clock that. Well done.
Yes.
How old are most guys who've been divorced three times? About 60? Like 60?
Yeah, 60, I think it is, yeah.
Like 60. Question three. How long did everyone at Chandler's work call him Chalala?
It's sort of, he sort of does that noise, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That Chandler noise that he does all the time. For the first 4 years, I think it's 4 years.
It's correct. Well done.
Yes.
What's in Monica's fruit bowl? I mean, Tempted to say fruit.
Do you want a more specific answer than fruit? Well, you're not getting it. Let's guess a fruit each.
Apples.
Pineapples.
Multiple pineapples.
I don't know.
It is pineapples.
Is it?
Yeah.
Multiple?
How many pineapples can you fit in a fruit bowl? I reckon I could get two, max.
Sounds like the start of a joke. My fruit bowls, I've downsized. This is such a boring sentence.
Go on.
I've downsized my fruit bowl recently.
Have you?
Yeah.
Right. Why did you need to downsize it?
I got a new dining room table and my other one looked inelegant on it, so I downsized it.
And you are really big on elegance, so...
Little bitch! What an absolute! You came for me for.
I'm sorry.
Unprompted, unprovoked attack.
I'm sorry.
Yes. That's fine. Well, Pete, look, it might surprise you to know that I take great pride in my home.
Hang on, what did you do with your old fruit bowl?
Ah, interesting question. I actually used it, and this sounds mad, but I used it as a little planter in the garden and put some seeds in it.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, looks quite cool. The upshot of that is I've just got some more plants that will inevitably kill in the next 3 to 4 months. But, you know, that's fine.
Question five. Name the four ways Joey refers to his and Chandler's apartment.
Like J-Man and Channies.
Yeah.
J's and C's.
J and C's, yeah.
Can't think of the others.
The other two are Joey and Chan's and very literally Joey and Chandler's.
That one feels like a cop-out from them, but never mind. J-Man and Channies.
Hey, do you want to know what next week's podcast is?
Is it Friends with Friends?
next week's episode, rather.
Yes, I do.
It is.
Yeah.
Season 3, episode 6, the flashback.
Have we never done the flashback?
Apparently not.
Wow, that feels like a big old gap in the old... pothole, doesn't it?
Well, we're filling everyone's potholes next week. Bye.